This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
Hey, and welcome to My Millennial Money. I'm not Glenn James.
And I'm not John Pigeon.
But we are the Jesses, and you might hear Glenn talk about the Jesses on the show. We are the Jesses that work away in the background making lots of stuff happen. We try to keep things organized in different ways. I help look after getting guests booked into the show and uploading episodes. And Jess, do you want to share what you do on a day-to-day kind of basis?
Yeah, I pretty much just do whatever Glenn tells me to. So... No, but that could be design, comms, marketing, just whatever needs to be done. So I love being here on the team.
You're basically a wizard.
I do try.
Well, today we are talking about frugal hacks. And JP, you have just gone through the whole month of February trying to be a little more frugalistic. Do you want to share what your kind of mission was, and yeah, give us some context around why we're doing this episode today?
Yeah, so basically I had this idea at the end of January. I want to do a frugal February, and it was purely selfish intention, and I wish that I had something like a goal that I could tie it back to, but it was really just to spend the least amount of money possible. And so I have kind of compared my February and to my January and looked through my expenses. And yeah, it's pretty interesting to see how I did and how I think that I did, and even some of the habits on how I spend money in January when I thought that I was actually doing pretty good.
Yeah, well, you sent me a report of some of your expenses. So I'm going to kind of grill you a little bit on some of your expenses, but I do think we can learn a lot from what you did, how you went about it, what worked, what totally didn't work. So you ready to get into it?
I'm ready. Let's jump in.
So yesterday was International Women's Day, and instead of celebrating it on just one day, we thought we might extend it for a few days, which is why us Jesses have finally taken over the show. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. Finally.
And finally.
Let's get some women
time
up in here.
And shout out to all the ladies who are listening. We love you. We respect you. We salute you. So it's going to be good. We're going to have fun today. So JP, you sent me a report. I love a good spreadsheet. You sent me a spreadsheet comparing January to February. And I'm looking at it right now. So
now I feel so nervous.
Oh, don't feel nervous. Look, I think we have all made errors and all made, you know, good choices as well when it comes to money. But my first question for you is, why personally did you want to try and be more frugal?
I have wanted to, I guess, do a deep dive on some of my own personal expenses for a while now, because it's really easy to just pay for things and not look back. And so I guess what I wanted to do is just see, okay, well, how, like, what is the least amount of money that I could spend? So in February, essentially what I did is tried to spend the absolute bare minimum, which still works out to be, you know, a lot of money, what I think. It was just over $2,000 in February, which as like a bare minimum, that doesn't seem right. But we'll be able to go in and kind of break it down into the categories, and I can explain what I spent money on and why. And yep. I guess we can see whether you think that's justified or not.
Hey, look, we're not here to judge. We're just here to learn. So it's all good. It's all good. I think it's really important that you know why you want to be frugal. I know a lot of people in our community really love being frugal. And if you just love the lifestyle and the mindset of being frugal, that's awesome. Go you. But also sometimes you do have to spend money. You know, you don't want to be so frugal that you hate living life and you're really uncomfortable. But sometimes there are phases when we need to be frugal. So I think it's really important for anyone listening, like, why do you want to be frugal? Is there a goal in mind? Are you trying to save up money for something? Or like JP, are you just really interested in the statistics and the data of, you know, what's the basic minimum I can get to live? There might be some question marks. Yeah. So I think it's really important to ask that question and to know why you're doing it, because it helps keep you motivated. Like if you've got the money to buy takeaway 5 nights of the week, then you will, and we do. So, you know, if you've got a mission, got a target, you'll be so much more motivated and directed, and you won't give up as easily, I don't think.
Definitely. And I think it's all about what works for you. So I've got a friend who she said that her financial goal at this point was to get to the point where she can buy a coffee out every morning of the weekday when she's working and not feel guilty about it. And so that's something that she has started budgeting towards is, you know, like $5 or $10 a day in the coffee budget. And that's, you know, that's something that she will get that personal satisfaction from. But I think that we all need to ask ourselves, what do we get that personal satisfaction from with our money? So for me, I actually take great pleasure in saving money and seeing, you know, how much money can I actually put away in my savings and it's not going out on food or, you know, different things that I don't even need. So I think it's about asking ourselves that question and using Glenn's acronym LOOT, so life on your own terms, the yours in brackets. it's a non-capital Y at the start of your. But really asking yourself, what does that look like for you? What does success in mastering your money look like for you? And ultimately, I guess, mastering your life and your lifestyle.
And like shooting for your values as well. Like if you want to have more money to spend with, you know, to go on date nights or money to spend on family or your kids, or you want to save up for a holiday because that's what you value, then sweet. Like use frugalistic hacks as a way to help achieve that for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Love it. Well, my first question, JP, on your report card here, between January and February, there's a pretty significant difference in the amount of money you spent on food. So in January, I'm seeing you spent $552.40 on food. And in February, that significantly reduced to $119.90. Can you talk us through what fits into that category and what were the differences in the way you managed food stuff?
Yeah, definitely. So in January, that was the tail end of me being on holidays and taking some time off. So I was definitely a lot more switched off. From the trend in my January report, I can really see that I was buying takeout like at least every 2 days or so, like buying a lot of food out. And from January to then go to February, I think there's about, 14 transactions that have come out of my account that was spent on food. So I feel like I made a pretty good significant reduction in my food spend. But there was definitely some things that I, still treated myself with, like Nando's.
Yeah, I see some Mackie D's and some KFC and some Starbucks and some Nando's. You're a foodie, JP.
I am a bit of a foodie. But actually, that's pretty good for me. So at one point, I was eating Nando's at least once a week, at least.
Yeah.
But that was something that I did for myself to treat myself. It was when I was still working in an office. So I would walk there and have my lunch break there. And some of my friends that worked around in the area would all meet to do that. So it was a bit of that social aspect as well. So I guess one of the biggest changes that I made from January to February is that I just started to become really open and just honest with friends and people that I usually spend time with, my boyfriend. And I just said, look, for February, I'm trying to decrease all of my expenses, and that includes food. So whenever I could make the option work, I would eat at home, or I would eat, you know, say like the cheapest possible meal. So for example, one of my meals at McDonald's there, I think, so there's two, I ate McDonald's twice from what I can see. And one of my meals was just $2. And that's because I use the app. So that's a pretty cheap meal still for eating out. Obviously, it doesn't really include the health aspect, but yeah. I was trying to eat well while I was at home, so that, you know, when I'm out and eating cheap, dirty, nasty takeout, there's a bit of balance there.
Yeah. And does this food budget, when you're looking at these, does that incorporate like groceries, like for cooking items as well?
Yeah. So I have a bit of a hack with February that maybe not everyone can do, but essentially for Christmas, I was given a voucher. And it's one of those online vouchers where you can choose what retailer or what, you know, what store you want to cash it in at. So the voucher, I had two of them that were $100 each.
Mm.
And I registered them with Woolworths, and you can get the Woolworths Money app. Ooh. And you essentially are carrying around a Woolworths Money card. So I still have money left on that, but I tried to use anything that I had to buy from Woolworths on that app so that I wasn't actually spending any money. And instead of, I decided to do that because I thought, okay, I can use this and I can buy something at David Jones or Meijer or something that I don't need, or I can actually use this to, you know, put towards some more of the necessities.
Okay, interesting. Well, let's move on to another category. Let's do some more comparison. So you have here, you've obviously got something that you probably can't change month to month, which is your mortgage repayment.
Yep.
And for a lot of people, that would be consistent. Rent, mortgage, that's a basic necessity. It's probably not a whole lot of ways that you can kind of go cheap and frugal on that. But you did, looking through here, you have a category called health. What's included in your health category?
So health includes my weekly gym membership. So that's $15.16. And that's part of just what keeps me sane and keeps me in some level of shape. Round is a shape.
I'm with you on that. Don't worry.
And a larger proportion of that health category. So in February, I can see that it was still $308.40. Versus January, it was $456.32. So medication also comes out of that health category. And then the larger proportion of what comes out of that category is counseling. So in the last 6 to 8 months, I really started to invest more in my mental health, and I knew that it would be, you know, I knew that it would come at a financial sacrifice, but I also knew that that's something that I really needed to do for myself to look after my mental health. So if I didn't have, a bunch of those counseling transactions in there, then my health expenses would be, under $100 easy. So it's just something that I am prioritizing at the moment, but that obviously that will change as I don't need continued level of support in that area.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm sure a lot of our listeners, especially, you know, post-COVID, mental health has come much more to the front. And there are times when, it is definitely worth spending that money to get the support that you need. And, you know, it might only be a season, but it also highlights, I think, how important it is to have money set aside in an emergency fund, because you never know when you might suddenly need that support. And it's handy to have a stash of cash somewhere where you can go, oh my goodness, I really need this help. I'm really struggling. you know, I need to go see my GP, I need to go see someone to talk through what's going on, or any other health-related issues, you know. It could be anything from cracking a tooth to, you know, suddenly having a muscular problem. You never know when those things are going to happen. So it's worth having some cash set aside in case that sort of stuff does happen.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Very cool, very cool. All right, I'm going to quiz you about one more area. And it's probably everyone's favorite area, leisure. Woo woo.
Oh,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You actually made a pretty decent cut here. You went from $288.46 to $166.57. So you dropped, know, you know, about $120 there. That's pretty good. What comes into the leisure category?
So leisure includes, it includes Netflix and Spotify because they're ongoing. Leisure, I would include any kind of like fun purchase, whether it's, you know, an activity like going to the movies. Actually, I'm just realizing there's something in there that's not leisure. It's actually transport. So it would actually be 156.
Oh, shave off a few more savings.
But yeah, essentially anything that's fun. I would, you know, just personally for me, for the purpose of doing this, I would include like any additional purchases like clothes or, you know, anything like that in there. So essentially all of the leisure expenses that I can see are Netflix, Spotify. I bought a pill box from Daiso. So whether that's leisure or not, I'm not sure. Maybe that I could actually argue that that's health. I don't know.
I think that's probably more health.
I put $6.50 towards going to the movies, but that would have been, I used a voucher and then that was like an additional payment on top of that to see like something in VMAX or something like that. But then the largest transaction in that account for February was some flights that a friend and I booked that totaled to $98. But without that $98, obviously my leisure expenditure would be about $50.
Yeah, right. So sort of a one-off event that sort of blew that one out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm pretty impressed with myself in that in that space.
I think you've done really well. And obviously, like, looking at some of the other expenses, they're things that you probably can't really change. There might be some hacks later that we could, like, apply and try even for, like, March for you. Like, some things around phone and internet. Like, some people have some really cool ideas in the Facebook group around how you can apply, get some discounts and see if your provider can do anything cheaper. That sort of thing. But everything else on your list looks pretty much kind of like, you can't live without those things. I think that's another interesting thing to talk about too with frugal hacks is you have to figure out what is the difference between a basic necessity and a leisure or a convenience item. And it's so easy to justify convenience and leisure stuff as, oh, no, I really need that. But I think if you want to be really frugal, you have to challenge yourself to go, you know what, you know, maybe I don't have Spotify this month and next month to, you know, help pay off a debt or to help save. So I think people probably find that really hard, and I know I do, because, man, those leisure and convenience things are just so good. But you have to challenge it, don't you? You have to go, you know what, everyone says that this is a necessity. Everybody has Netflix. Everybody has this other streaming thing. But you know what, at the end of the day, I don't need that to live and breathe. I can do something else.
But I do.
Well, that's it. It comes down to what you value. And if you really want to save that money or achieve that goal, you know, you'll be willing to make some trade-offs.
And I think it's interesting because there's actually a lot of opportunities in the streaming space to stream things for free. So I know that, for example, 9Now and 10Play, the apps you can get on your phone, they're for free. You don't have to sign up or, you know, have a paid account or anything. And you can just stream like a lot of shows that are on TV or whatever, kind of whenever you want, in the same way that you would stream Netflix or Stan or Disney Plus. So yeah, I think it just does come down to what can you sacrifice or replace with some other form of entertainment, or what can you do to revisit what you're currently doing. So for example, my Netflix subscription I share with one of my friends. So we upgraded the account so that you can have the two screens going at the one time. I think so it's $14. So we actually pay $7 each, but the transaction comes under my account and then she pays me. So really I could probably half that.
Yeah. Yeah. We do that in my family too. We split Stan between a few family members. Yeah. You just get like the family deal and it ends up being cheaper for everyone and you still get access to Stan. So
yeah,
that's definitely an option.
Yeah. And there's the Spotify family account as well that brings it down to, it's about $3.50 or something like that each.
Yeah. Bargain.
Which is pretty cool. I know.
JP, thanks for letting us dig into your bank statements.
No worries.
And congratulations, Gold Star. You've done very well. Look, there is room for improvement, but that's true of all of us. So it's good. It's cool to hear what worked for you, what didn't. And yeah, maybe we can talk in a sec. We can talk about some of the hacks that people in the Facebook group had up their sleeves and share some of the gold from our community.
Definitely. But if you have one thing for me to improve on, what would it be? What would you say?
Look, JP, I think my challenge to you, JP, is can you maintain your food streak? So, you know, if I compare, right, so in January you spent $550 that month on food, that's not much cheaper than what me and my family of two adults and a toddler would spend in a month. So, yeah, you're doing definitely improving, but I reckon see if you can maintain that streak.
Yeah, definitely.
See how you go.
I'll have to report back to you at the end of next month. Oh, this month.
Please do. This month. Yeah, man, it's going fast. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back very soon. Stick around. We're going to talk about some frugal hacks from the community.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click get help, and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers, and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help.
All right, welcome back. So now we're going to dig into the Facebook group ideas. And there's also a blog that JP, the other Jess, has put together around frugal hacks. So check that out. The link will be in the show notes. But we're going to roll through some of your amazing ideas. First one I'm going to read is from Ashley. And Ashley suggested budget food shopping. I plan out our meals and do a lot of home cooking. Chicken, spinach, lasagna, tofu, rice, frozen veggies, pesto pasta, homemade sausage rolls, that kind of thing saves us a lot of money. Cheap, tasty meals. I think that's a really good point because you can do some really tasty like bulk cook-ups. And one thing that I totally think is worth investing in is like a second freezer. If you've got the space for it, buy like even a little second freezer and you can do massive bulk cookups, freeze stuff. And then especially the nights where you just don't feel like cooking, you can just grab something from the freezer, defrost it, cook it up and off you go.
Yeah. And I love the idea of bulk cooking and the time that saves you in the long run. So I've never been a huge cooker, but I've always, you know, say, and it's just me in my household. So I would just cook like a whole packet of chicken and I'll use those chicken for different, like really easy meals. So it might be like a wrap or a salad but at least it's already prepared.
Yeah. Multi-purpose foods.
Mm.
One of my favorite things that I learned, I never worked in hospitality, but my husband did, and he taught me about the five French mother sauces. So if you don't know what that is, Google it. And it's
I don't know what that is. What is it?
Oh, okay. Here we go. So it's the five basic sauces of French cuisine. And it's sort of like the basis for a heap of different types of meals. So you can use the five French mother sauces. It's like creamy ones and tomatoey ones. And if you know how to make them in their most basic form, you can apply those sauces to all different kinds of things like pastas and meats and all different types of meals. So you've got a bit of flexibility. So it's totally worth taking the time. You can probably even YouTube, you know, how to make the five French mother sauces. If you check that out, then you can make sauces out of even really basic ingredients in your pantry. So if you've got some like tinned tomatoes, tinned beans, some dried pasta, herbs and spices, some stock, all that sort of basic stuff in your pantry, if you've always got that there, then you can always kind of craft a meal out of that. So that's a cool thing to check out if you haven't already checked that sort of thing out. Actually, on the food note, Millie had a really good idea. Millie said, have super easy meals like frozen pies and peas, etc., for the nights you normally just go stuff it and get takeaway. That saved them $500 this month.
That's so awesome. Good.
That's so good. I love that. And there's so many foods you can buy like that. So like quiches, pizzas, pies, lasagnas. You could just get wedges and chips, dumplings, spring rolls, like so many good freezer
You're
items.
You're making me hungry.
I know, it's so good. But you can also add your spin to it too, like the pizzas, we do this. We get like those $3 pizza bases, which are a bit cheap and nasty. But if you get a whole bunch of extra toppings, like you can add capsicum and mushroom, some basil, mozzarella, salami, you can add your favorite toppings to the cheap pizza base and you haven't had to spend a heap of money to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And there's another comment from the Facebook post from, I'm probably going to butcher how this is pronounced, but her name is Moana Nui Okiva, I think. Probably definitely wrong, but hey. And she says, I make my own lunch every day for work and coffee cup in my bag as well. I eat everything in the pantry as much as possible before grocery day, transfer all my spare change into savings accounts at the end of the week. And I accidentally on purpose canceled credit cards from transfers through online accounts so I can't buy anything online. So she's put in some boundaries there so she doesn't buy anything online. But I love the food, the mention of eating everything out of the pantry as much as possible. So that was something that I really employed in my frugal February. And I'm a bit of a food hoarder, or I have been a bit of a food hoarder. So I really got through a lot of that backup food that I'd had in there. Some of them had been in there for years. I would be lying if I said that I didn't find a huge number of things that were actually already out of there use by date. So
oh no.
I know, it was sad. It was a sad moment.
So make the most of what's in your pantry, guys.
Yep. Don't let it go off.
Okay. So Julia here said, make it difficult to spend any money. Only keep what you intend to spend in a shopping trip in your debit account, or even better, get cash out for that amount. That way you have to spend time to transfer money if you want to buy more. I think we do that, and it really does make you think twice, because you're watching the dollars transfer over and you're going, oh man, do I really need to be spending that? No, it does make you think twice. I think that's another boundary thing of, if you are just likely to go, oh, yeah, there's money in my account, yeah, just spend it, maybe you need to put some kind of boundary in place to stop yourself from doing that.
Yeah. And then Harry actually says you can increase your income where possible. And somebody had responded to him and said, I'm going to have a garage sale at Easter and I'm going to take my stuff to a market. So
yes.
I know Glenn's really big on looking at, you know, what do you have in your house that you haven't used in 2 years? Like if you've got an old Xbox you haven't used, honestly, sell it for $20. You're not using it anyway. That's 20 extra bucks in your pocket.
That's it. And also think through, like I know Glenn also says with things like side hustles, don't just do the side hustle because, like, have a really good reason for it and try not to be doing it like too long term, because you can't work like all week and then work all weekend. That's insane.
Yeah.
You've got to figure out what works for you to increase your income. So I know some people look into things like doing online surveys that might work with their lifestyle, where they might be commuting, or they might just have some time where they're just sitting around with their phone and they can do surveys on their phone. And for other people, they might go, you know what, I really need to be where I work. So maybe it is you do an extra shift on a Saturday, and don't do it forever because you will exhaust yourself, but you might do it for a couple of months, get some extra cash up, and then off you go.
Yeah. And I think so somebody else actually said, don't go to Bunnings. Shout out to Stacey.
Oh man, that place.
Unsubscribe from all of the retail emails. Yes. So that's interesting. You might need to audit, you know, what do you expose yourself to that actually tempts you to spend money? Is it that you go to the shops? Can you avoid going to the shops and just avoid spending that money if you don't need it? And can you just unsubscribe from all of those emails that you don't need that sale temptation from?
Yeah, totally. And the same thing I think applies to like Instagram Marketplace and Facebook Marketplace, because, oh man, it is so easy to spend money on Instagram. Dang, they're so good at it. And maybe you need to ban yourself from the marketplace because it's so easy when you're scrolling through. Oh, that looks so pretty. I'm going to get that. Dang. And the same with marketplace. Like I have friends who do that, like secondhand buying on marketplace, but they end up buying too much because it's that justification of, oh, but it's cheap. It's secondhand. So maybe you need to watch yourself in how much you're actually buying secondhand, because you could end up spending the same amount of money if you're just like hoarding secondhand items.
Yeah, that's true. I used to go to op shops and see what kind of items they were selling. And I would Google some items that I thought, okay, you know, maybe I might be able to flip this, because I'd see how much I could sell it for.
Mm.
And I did that. I probably was successful half the time, but then the other half of the time I was just left over with like, you know, some mug for a local sports group that is, you know, in brand new condition, but nobody wants to buy it.
Yeah.
So then it means that I've got just more junk laying around that I don't need.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, man. It's so easy to do.
Mm.
Okay, Lee has a good point. Lee says, spend less than what you make. Ask yourself before you buy something, do I really need this? Can I do without it? If you do need it, ask yourself, am I buying the best value product? I think that's a really good point. I think in one of our recent episodes, a guest said, if you buy cheap, you buy twice. So I think that's a really interesting thing. Like, okay, and maybe if you buy something of better quality, you might be spending a little bit more money up front, but in the long term, it might last longer. So you're not having to continually spend money replacing that item. So in a weird kind of roundabout sort of way, you could see that as being frugal. You know, you're actually stopping the ongoing, you know, expenses.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. The last one here that I really like is from Laura. And Laura says, turn off appliances at the PowerPoint, which is such a simple but effective thing to do. I think that's great. Love it. I think that also applies to like heating and cooling stuff too.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I'd never actually really done a lot of research into what turning off appliances at the PowerPoint, what kind of difference that could make. But obviously over a longer term, just getting into that habit of, okay, well, I'm not using that right now. Make sure you don't turn off the fridge accidentally or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump into the Frugal February blog tips. So I kind of went through my experience and I listed a whole bunch of different tips and hacks that I just thought of top of my head, things that I might have heard before. And it's kind of formatted in a bit of a, you know, in a bit of a question for yourself. So make sure you jump into the link in the show notes and have a look and just see, see what kind of questions you can ask yourself to help audit some of your expenses.
And how many things did you come up with, JP?
35.
Yikes. 35.
And some of them are not so much they might not, you know, sound like that much of a hack, but it's something that on a maybe more minuscule level has made a difference for me, even if it's not even if it's not directly related to saving money. For example, one of them, and this is a little gross, so this is actually the last one on the list, but I usually go to the gym every day, most days. And so that I'm not just rewashing my gym clothes all the time, I just rewear my gym outfit until it feels gross enough that I'm like, okay, I'm going to change my outfit or I'm going to wash
you
this
stink.
Now. Pretty gross.
I do that too though, and it works. Like, yeah. Like you're just going to sweat up your clothes, and the amount of washing you would do if you washed everything every time you wore it, like for real, you'd be washing every day.
I know. It's too crazy. So that's something that's, you know, not directly a dollar save, but it does save you the laundry and the time. So
that's worth it.
I included as a bit of a hack.
Love it. I think I highlighted a couple of my faves. And this is sort of what you did. Track every expense coming out of your account. Look at it daily so you know exactly what's coming out. And for some people, that might be kind of a scary thought. And it probably was for you as well, Jess, at the beginning of doing the January-February comparison. But, oh, man, the number of things that would come out of our accounts where you're not even really aware of it. Like, even the sheer number of direct debits that would come out of your account. Like, you have to be able to account for all of those things. So it is really important to open it up and go, you know what? Oh, man, there's like 2,000 debits this month. Where is it all going? And that might explain why you don't have savings, or that might explain why you don't have money for your holiday. Like, it is, it's so worth, as scary as it is, it's so worth opening it up and going, okay, what's here? What am I looking at?
Yeah, definitely. Something that actually really helped me that I did before I wrote this blog and did my Frugal February, but something that really helped me was actually going through the Glenn James spending plan. Woo-hoo. So within that, you actually have to include all of your, annual expenses. Like, and it's really all inclusive. It would be really hard to forget something going through that Glenn James spending plan, because there is a category for everything that you can think of pretty much. So that I found really interesting in just figuring out, okay, how much money do I need to spend every year to, pay all my bills and then also maintain my lifestyle, and what kind of cuts in my expenditure would I need to make to, decrease that annual amount. So doing something like going through the Glenn James spending plan is something additional that you can do on top of, tracking through every expense coming out of your account. Sometimes there's things that you maybe are not prepared for. So for example, in February, I had to renew my license, which was about $190 that came out of that transport category. Now, my transport category would have been, much, much lower if I didn't have to spend that money. So it's just about being aware of what bills you have coming up, and so that you can really move towards your goals.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think a lot of people, talking about bills, get really stung when they're not prepared for their bills, and then suddenly electricity's $400 because it's the middle of summer or the middle of winter. And if you at least know, like you've at least written it down, okay, you've tallied up what your electricity bills were for the last 12 months. You've got a ballpark of, okay, it's going to cost about this much for the next 12 months. How can I prepare for that? Do I need to put money into another account to prepare for that? Do I even have enough money for that based on my income? Do I need to increase my income for that? Like you do have to put everything down on paper, so to speak, or at least into a spreadsheet and go, okay, what are these expenses actually expected to be?
And then when the expenses don't come through at that level of expectation, you can actually question those expenses as well and review. And because when you're tracking it on that manual and minuscule level, you can really see, okay, my car insurance is meant to be $70 a month. Why did it come through at $80 a month this month? And maybe that's a really quick call that you can make just to follow that up. Maybe you can, change that provider of your car insurance. So it's just about knowing and being on top of what expenses are coming out.
Yeah, totally. All right, another one that you wrote here that I really love is reduce your air conditioning use, which is such a good one because, oh man, electricity and gas are so expensive. And I know, like, I'm a mum of a two-year-old, and especially when you've got newborn babies and stuff, you don't want to keep your air conditioning running all the time, but sometimes you kind of have to because, like, newborns can't regulate their body temperature. So you do have to kind of help provide a bit of air conditioning in some form, and it can end up being so expensive. So, you know, if you can do things like, rather than using heating, see if you can get some really nice blankets for your couch for when you're watching TV, and get a really good hoodie and some really good house socks, which sound a bit dorky but are actually really comfy and warm. Good rugs in your house as well. And then, like, the reverse in summer, if you can, you know, avoid using the air conditioning as much as possible. Using fans is so much more energy efficient and costs you so much less. And keeping your house closed, like, really basic principles of keeping heat out of your house, using curtains and keeping your blinds shut, and yeah, whatever you can do to kind of keep your house as cool as possible, keep yourself as cool as possible without turning on the air conditioning, that can save you heaps of cash.
Yeah, so good.
Speaking of parental things, one of your other points is, if you're a mum, is it an option to ask your parents or in-laws to look after the kids one day per week to replace daycare? Oh man, daycare is so expensive. It is so expensive. Don't even get me started. Shout out to all the mums out there who, like me, are frustrated as about this, like, just how much it costs, right? It's crazy. You want to pay for it because you want your kids to have quality care. But it's insane how much it costs. And if you're lucky enough to have family in town, absolutely cash in on even half a day. If you can get them looked after half a day, I get that looking after kids can be pretty intense. But even a couple of hours could be really handy for your budget. Another thing you can do is swap, like, babysitting and childcare with your friends. If you've got a couple of friends with little kids, see if you can kind of drop your kids to each other's houses. You know, Monday's here, Tuesday's there, Wednesday's there. See if you can cut that back. It's a cost that doesn't seem to be changing. Cash in on all of the concessions you can get from the government as well. That's absolutely worth it. As painful as it is filling in the forms and having to deal with Centrelink, it's worth pushing through that to get some form of discount because it's a lot of cash.
Yeah. And I just remember my whole world opened up when a couple of years ago, a friend who'd had a baby was talking about some of the expenses of childcare. And she was saying that some weeks it was more expensive than the income that she was bringing in for from her job. And so what she actually did was she just changed her lifestyle. So she left that job and decided that she was going to look after her child at that point because she, you know, would have preferred having that time. And also, you're not just getting the money in and spending it. It's not just coming in and then going straight out.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I think another way, someone told me, when you're getting your kid into childcare, also think of it as the money comes from both yours and your partner's income, not just yours. So that's a really helpful kind of mindset thing to go, you know what, like, we both pay for this kid and the costs associated with them don't just come from my income. It comes from our combined income. So that's another kind of helpful mindset thing around those costs.
And I guess it really depends on what is your personal circumstances. For example, you actually might not be in the position where you have a partner that has another income coming in, or maybe you do have a partner that's not working or not working normal hours. So it's really about, you know, what can you do to master your finances in the way that works for you and your life and your family setup.
Oh, 100%. I think that's true of everything that we've talked about today, isn't it? Like, you've got to know what money you have coming in, what money you've got going out, what's the best way to be efficient and effective with what you have. I think, you know, we often hear on the show, the fallacy of, like, oh, you know, you've got to have a massive income to be rich. And it's like, well, no, it's actually more about how do you look after the money that does come into your door? No matter how much or how little it is, how do you, you know, manage that money? So, yeah, I think that's a really great principle to keep in mind when it comes to just personal finances generally. You know, we all wish we could win the lotto and not have to be frugal ever, but sometimes that income doesn't allow it, like especially if you're a student or you're working part-time or you might be out of work. You know, it's important to go, okay, am I making the most of what I've got?
And I think just nailing it down to just spending less than what you earn. And when you simplify it in that way, it actually, you know, decisions become a lot easier because you can go, okay, is this decision to spend money on X going to mean that I'm going to be spending more than what I earn in this month? And Glenn talks about a lot of kind of principles that are super important actually in looking at reviewing some of the costs that you have. So one of them is housing and the other one is cars. And these are things that he has seen within his career as the things that people spend the most amount of their money on. And, you know, using a percentage base to kind of look and see, okay, are your housing expenditure more than, is it 30%?
Yeah, I think it's 30%.
Yeah. So definitely we'll pop a link in the show notes to where you can find out some more information about some of those really big, you know, those larger costs that everyone has to pay for. But you have to make the decision about what's best for you and your income in your current season.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, JP, thank you so much for letting us drill down into your finances. We appreciate using you as a case study.
That is my pleasure, as nerve-wracking as it was.
Oh, no, it's great. I think, you know, being transparent and open about money is what this whole podcast is about. So I'm sure we've all walked away with some nuggets of gold and some lessons we can all apply. And thanks to everybody in our Facebook group who shared their ideas as well. And again, don't forget to check out the blog in the show notes that has Jess's long list of frugal hacks. Check it out and apply whatever is relevant to your situation.
Woo!
All right, guys, have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
We acknowledge the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respect to their elders, past and present. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast.
My Millennial Money supports A21, a charity focused on abolishing slavery and human trafficking all over the world. Check out a21.org.au for more info. If you would like some other giving options, or if you're unsure about which charity you can support, head to thelifeyoucansave.org.au.
This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, is an authorised representative of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.